This evening to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. And while you're finding your places in God's Word, again, it's my joy and my privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Church. And I appreciate you coming to be in the meeting tonight. I have enjoyed the music and the singing, and I appreciate the men of God. I appreciate you preachers coming tonight. God bless you for coming. I know you're busy, and you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be here. I'm appreciative of that. And it's good to have folk, different churches here tonight, Timberlake. Now, the Lord willing, they have camp meeting next week, and I'll be over there in the camp meeting. I go every year. God's so good to us, isn't he? When I think about this, when Sister Teresa and Sister Nancy were singing, of course, it's hard to come to this church now thinking about Brother Ben Poovey. I can tell you that. I started coming here in the 80s. And then I missed a few years, and then I came back in 94. And then I started coming back around the year 2000 and still coming. But he left his footprint around here, around this place. And I look around, I see Brother Ben Poovey. And then his children, family. But time makes a change. God calls us home. Then we, that are left, we press on. Glad we're still in the journey. And I appreciate you that's been so faithful down through the years. I remember one time, I just drove up in the parking lot, and that's when I had a gasoline motor home. And Brother Ben came and met me, and he greeted me. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Brother Fry, you pray for us." He said, "If something doesn't happen, one day there'll be no Faith Baptist Church unless we get some young people." And how true, how true. This young lady that's singing tonight is not the church of tomorrow, the church of today. And if we don't get young people in our churches, one day it will not be a church, just be a building. And then that particular year, I made it a point to count those that came. On Sunday morning, to my best memory, we had 35. On Sunday night, we had 35. Throughout the week, we had the same 35 with visitors coming. And there's some in wheelchairs, y'all remember? And in walkers and crutches. But they still came. And I said to Brother Ben that week, I said, as long as people is that faithful, you don't have to worry about closing your church doors. Amen. Thank God for people that are faithful and serving the Lord. Yeah. Now, this evening, the pastor knocked on my door at the motorhome, and he had something in his hand, and he brought me a bowl of pinto beans. Amen. A bowl of pinto beans. And then someone else knocked on my door, Sister Teresa, and she brought me a cake of cornbread and a jug of buttermilk. So you know what I got some onion, Brother Johnny, I got some onions out there. You know what I'll have at the service tonight? I'll have them pinto beans and cornbread and buttermilk. Now, if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. I was raised on that, still like that. And I almost, if the pastor hadn't been there, that cornbread was still hot. I would have sliced it and put some butter in there before I come, but I was embarrassed doing it in front of the pastor. But thank y'all for taking care of us. Brother Gill, last night after service, he said, "Let's go to Wendy's and get some good old ice cream." I said, "All right." Preachers love to eat. They love the fellowship, don't they? And we're sitting there, and I forgot what time. I had no idea what time they closed. So the manager said, "If y'all go home, we'll close." I said, "In other words, you're running us off." And I said, "That's right." I said, "We'd like to go home." I said, "Well, we're out of here." So we're a little bit overstayed our time. Well, thank you for praying for us and continue to pray for us. If you could and would please this evening, would you stand in honor to the reading of God's word and prayer time. Again, Pastor, appreciate you inviting me to come to share and these nights of revival. Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verses number 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that comes down fresh and new every morning. And again, we sell on the psalmist David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, Father, we have worshiped you again back in prayer room time. We have worshiped you in congregational singing and in music and special song. And my heart has been blessed and stirred. But now, Father, we have come to worship you in the preaching of your word. And I pray that thou shalt give me a holy unction as I stand before you and this awaiting congregation. Would you help me as I preach to rightly divide the word of God? Father, again, would you bless our visitors and the members of this church? I pray for every preacher, pastor, missionary, and evangelist that's here this evening, and I pray for them. Now, Father, I do pray that you'd help the good pastor, Brother Don, and his wife, as the under shepherds of this church. Would you get glory to yourself and give revival in these closing days of grace? And we shall thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in honor to the reading of God's word and prayer time. Amen. Honor preach this evening on this thought, the glory of his presence. The glory of his presence. Let me give you a brief introduction and then our message this evening. God's presence was manifested in the Old Testament by two symbols, a cloud and the Ark of the Covenant. In the New Testament, by Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, God in the cloud manifested in the Ark, God in Christ. And so in John 10, verse number 30, I and my Father are one. In John 14 and verses number 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou dost not know me? And Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So we find God in the person of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verses 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verses number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Now, first of all, this evening, let me call our attention. His presence brings instructions. Now, first of all, here we find his presence in the cloud, led them in the way to go. God always asks us to follow his instruction. Sometimes, seemingly, it's hard for the people of God to follow God's instructions. I remember one time at the parsonage, and that's back years ago, myself and one of the trustees were going to assemble a door to one of our closets. And for an hour and a half, we worked on that door. I never got it together. And I said to him, how about reading the instructions? It tells us how to put this door together. And we did. In 30 minutes, we had the door hung. It pays to read the instruction. Amen. It pays to follow God's instruction. Amen. So when I look here in the Word of God, the Bible tells us here in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, and verses 20 through 21, and so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was that when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. It's so wonderful to keep on in the journey and following God's instruction. Amen. Now, church, for a number of years, I have been in this journey with God. Almost 60 years now, I've been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. What a day it was when God saved me. What a day it was when God called me to preach His word. And what a day it is to travel in that journey, continue today. When I think about this, back in September last year in Patrick Springs, Virginia, and my wife wasn't with me, and I was parked at the Calvary Baptist Church, and I was preaching a revival meeting. And so one morning I got up, and after breakfast, I felt like I wanted some chicken salad. So I drove down to Walmart. My wife says, I have to go to Walmart every day. If it's one close by, I'll go by. I drove just in front of one today and did not stop and get out and go in. That's not like me. But I went down to Walmart, and a fellow was standing there with that blue uniform on. And I said to him, sir, I said, I'm looking for some chicken salad. Can you tell me what aisle it's on? He turned around and he said, aren't you Preacher Fry? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I recognize you by your voice. And I said, do I know you? He said, no, sir, but when I was 10 years old, I come to hear you preach. I said, how old are you now? He said, 31. And still recognize my voice. Then he said to me, are you still preaching the word? I was so glad I could tell him I have not fainted. A lost heart. I said, I'm still preaching the word of God. I'm still in the journey. And so the Bible said it led them, talking about Israel now, through the wilderness. And this must have been a blessed assurance to the children of Israel to look in the day as well at night and see the cloud leading them on through the wilderness. Oh, the glory of His presence. And His presence with the ark to lead them in their journeys. In Joshua chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. And they commanded, notice now the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. By measure come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way, he said, here too far. Said, you hadn't passed this way before. But don't you get too close, God said to the ark. Stay your distance from it. Some things God tells us to get close to. Some things he tells us to separate from. But he said, Israel, don't you get too close. Now, they did not know how that they would get there. But as the ark went before them, they followed and always made it through the waters and around the wall of Jericho. And God said to the prophet, when thou passest through the waters, thou shalt not overflow thee, for I will be with thee. Oh, the glory of the presence of God. And God said, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. I think about this blessed old book I'm preaching from tonight. And sometimes, you know, I mentioned this, I believe on Sunday last night. I don't have to defend the King James Bible. That's all I know. I just have to preach it. It'll take care of itself. You know why? Because it has been tested through time. They tried to wash it away and the water couldn't wash it away. They tried to burn it and they couldn't burn it. Aren't you glad that God said forever, my word is settled in heaven. Amen. And nobody can ever change that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Again, we walk on with the Lord. Then again, when I think about this, or His presence revealed in Christ to lead His people. In John 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way and the life. Notice that I'm the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto me but by the Father. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the way. So many people, they're trying to find a new way to get to heaven. But there's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the way of the cross still leads home, aren't you? I'm so glad again there's level ground at the cross. And then again the Bible said, in John chapter 10, verse number 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He called Simon Peter, come and follow him. And Simon did. Christ led him to catch men. He called James and John to leave all and to follow him. The Bible said they obeyed. He led like a shepherd into green pastures and by side of still waters in the paths of righteousness Again, I say, oh, glory for the presence of God. When God calls, God always leads. I'm not much of a sportsman. I know very little about sports. Very little. Never cared about it. And I know very little about fishing, anything like that. And sometimes people said, Brother Fry, what do you do for recreation? I said, go to church. Preach. Enjoy the things of the Lord. Those things have never been an interest to me. But oh, thank God for the Bible. Oh, thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for He, the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us and lives within us. Then again, the Bible tells us His presence revealed in the Holy Ghost to lead His people. In John 16, verses 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I'm not talking about having a bait of pinto beans at supper and a lot of cornbread and buttermilk and some onion, go to bed and have a wild dream. Not talking about that. Absolutely not. Thank God. We're to follow the Lord. And God will teach us, and God will lead us, and God will guide us what to do, and what to say, and what to do. We just need to follow His instructions, ladies and gentlemen. Always follow His instruction. So He comes in and seals us. Notice now, the Bible said here in Ezekiel, He said, I put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes, and ye shall keep My judgments and do them. So I'm glad He comes in, don't you, and seals us and leads us on until one day He will lead us home. I'm so glad this world is not my home. It's just a temporary place. And we're just a passing through. And children, we're not home yet. But until then, we need to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Now the Bible tells us, as the servants of Abraham led Rebekah on the journey to meet Isaac, her husband-to-be, so is the Holy Ghost leading us on in the journey to meet face-to-face with the One who saved us, loved us, saved us from sin. Glory to God for His presence tonight. Then again, number two, His presence brings comfort. Today, people are looking for peace and joy and comfort, but they're looking in the wrong direction. The Bible tells us a cloud is a comfort. Oh, what a comfort it must have been to the children of Israel to know that while they were asleep, the cloud was standing over them and was leading them on to the promised land. And then we find again the ark, a covenant. Oh, we know that it was a great comfort to the children of Israel when the ark was brought back into the camp. Just to know that God's presence is with us brings comfort. Just to know that God's presence is with us. I don't know why that people don't get excited about the Lord anymore. You know, it's from day one that you got saved, God has never left you. He's with you. Now, I like to go to church where I can feel the presence of God. I'm not talking about, I mentioned this Sunday, when I was younger, I preached some wild stuff, just like all you preachers did. And I thought I had a monopoly on everything until one day I began to spend some time in the Bible, began to spend some time with God. It's not how high you jump, how high you raise your hand, how loud you say amen. That's what's in right here. How you enjoy the presence of the Lord. But I like to go to church when I can feel more than the pew that I sit on. I like to hear the old time songs like I've heard tonight. I like to hear the old time music that honors God. That brings the presence of God. Things have changed, have they not, along the way in our churches down through the years. We think again, Christ manifesting God in the presence brought comfort to many in His day. When the woman was going to bear her son, Jesus met them and gave her son back to her. I'm sure that she was comforted on that day. I see this with a lady on the way to the cemetery to bear her only son. But something happened that day. She had sorrow. My heart was broken. But Jesus met her and brought that young man back to life. Oh, let me say, that brought comfort to her heart. Then I think about Mary and Martha were heartbroken when their brother died. It must have been a very dark time for them. The Jews were trying to comfort them, but to no avail. Martha went out alone in the evening to mourn. Now she was sitting watching the sunset with a broken heart. The shadow of Him who comforted hearts and men fell across the path. That gentle voice said, where is Mary? Can you imagine that small, gentle voice, where is Mary? Well, how Mary's heart must have leaped when Martha said, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee.
Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
I remember in 1995, I'm preaching in Manio, North Carolina. And I preached that night on the thought, the master's come and calleth for thee. And after the service that night, went to the motel room. Sometime during the morning, I awakened with terrible pain in my chest, like someone standing on my chest. And I had seen enough members that I pastored knowing that something's wrong with my heart. And I called the pastor and I said, "You come and get me. I'm dying. I think I'm having a heart attack. I need to go to the hospital." He said, "There are no hospitals here." I said, "Well, I need some help." He came and got me, took me to a little clinic, then took me on to Chesapeake, Virginia. I shall never forget this. I preached that message that night. The master is come and calleth for thee. When I laid on that little narrow slab they put me on to do that catheterization, the devil said, "I got you where I want you. You are through now." Has the devil ever told you that? But then the presence of God showed up. And God said, "I'm with you, and I'll be with you." Oh, glory to God for his presence in the time of afflictions. When we don't understand, his presence is always there. Then again, then Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. The sisters' hearts were made glad, and their sorrow vanished. Oh, they were comforted by the Holy Ghost of God, by the Lord himself. And then what a comfort unto the disciples when he stilled the tempest and caused the winds to lay down. Oh, must have been a comfort that day. Then his presence manifested in the Holy Ghost to comfort his people. In John 16, verses number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is speed for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comfort will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Oh, what a blessing. As you know, in Old Testament days, the Spirit of God came up on them, was not indwelt, gave them a message, and then departed from them. Even came upon animals. But on the day of Pentecost, when all nations under heaven were gathered, then the Holy Ghost of God came as a mighty rushing wind. For the first time, they were indwelt of the Spirit of God. Now, when we get saved, we are baptized by the Holy Ghost of God into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, Jesus said prior to going back, sitting down at the right hand of the Father, he said, "It's important that I go away. If I don't go away, the comfort will not come. But if I go, he's going to come back." What a day that was. What a day that was. I think about this often, church. I think about this preacher's. As vile as I was, as wretched as I was, he came to where I was. I wasn't worthy to come in, but he came to where I was and saved my soul. Now he lives in this old tabernacle in the person of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I think about this. The words tell us Jesus' love is forever. I mentioned that last night in the message. When I think about how Jesus comforts us in the time of our afflictions and our trials and troubles, in our tribulation, he comes to us and comforts us. I read a story not long ago about this mother. A young man in a western town picked up off the street, carried to the hospital, and they learned that he had a fever on the brain. He didn't know anyone, had no identity on him, but he kept calling the name Mother. There's no one outside of God will love you like a mother will. You have called him Mother. And so they tried to locate his mama, and to no effort, they could not find his mother. But one nurse came in trying to soothe the young man, and she said, "I'm your mother." But he paid no attention to it. Finally, the search continued, and he found his mother. They brought her to the hospital. With those wrinkled hands that she had, she took him, caressed his forehead. She said, "Son, mama's here now." He smiled and went to sleep. When I think about the comfort of a mother, there's no comfort like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When our hearts have been crushed and we are broken, I'm glad he's the one who comforts us.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't understand these things. Then again, many times I've been troubled and heartbroken and lonely. The devil would say, "Give up. Nobody cares. Your faith, your ministry is no good and you have failed." Has he ever said that, you preacher? has ever said to you folk, you're not a preacher, you're saved tonight. Has the devil ever came by when you have done your best and all you knew what to do to serve God? And then in the midst of your lowest spot in your life, the devil would come by and said, you are no good. God don't love you. He don't care for you. And then the sweet Holy Ghost of God begins to hug us and said, I care for you. You belong to me. Oh, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, what a comfort he brings. He talks with me. I'm glad he tells me. I'm his own. The joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. When he speaks, the voice is so sweet that the birds hush their sing. It's no voice like the voice of the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory for the presence of God. Back some years ago, I'm preaching in a camp meeting. And when I sat down, they called on another preacher, and he got up to preach, and I'll not call his name. And he said, this evening I'm going to preach on putting yourself in the offering plate. Well, I had never heard a subject like that before. And I thought, offering plate is where we pass around for people to put an offering in, a gift in. And when that fellow got up and preached that day, when he got through, I had never been on the outer rim of the offering plate. What a message he brought that day. But he gave a testimony of a missionary I never heard before, and I tell it a lot of times. This man in Russia, in a communist country, giving out Bibles. They came to him and said, you in a communist country, you cannot give out Bibles. You're forbidden to do that. Day after day, he gave the Bibles away. They came to him again, the authorities did, and said, if you give out any more Bibles, we're going to arrest you, and you're going to jail. Kept on giving out Bibles, and so they arrested him, tried him, gave him 18 years in the penitentiary because passing out the Bibles, the Word of God. And then he had no Bibles to give out while he was in jail, so he just testified. Amen. To those in jail. And finally they said one day, we'll stop him from all of this. In those days, they didn't have facilities in jails like they have today, so they gave him a wheelbarrow and a shovel. And every day he went to the cells and gathered dung and took it to the cesspool. After time of all this odor got in the pores of his skin, nobody eat with him, nobody speak to him. He lived all alone in that prison. No one had anything to do with him. They said, we've got him where we want him now. Finally came the time that he was released, and two missionaries outside the penitentiary waiting for him. When he got, they said to him, how did you live all these years with the job that you had? This is what he said. He said, every time I picked up a shovel or dung, put it in that wheelbarrow, he talks with me. He walks with me. He tells me I'm his own. That's how I made it. I'll tell you, when we're down in our lowest valley and don't know what to do, I'm glad that Jesus is always at the walk with us and told us and tell us that we belong to him. No matter what the devil tells you, we belong to God. We belong to God. All the glory of his presence. And again, at the end of the journey, the Holy Ghost will comfort us by showing us the things to come. Number three, his presence brings joy. We find his presence manifested in the cloud. In Exodus 33:9, verses 10, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloud of pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. The cloud brought joy to the children of Israel. They were close to God. So how wonderful it is when we can see his presence in our worship. Amen. You don't see that often anymore. You old times remember this. I have been in services when God showed up with his presence. I've been in services like this right here when the presence of God got so real, it'd be so foggy in there, you couldn't hardly see. I remember one time I'm out in the woods praying. This is some years ago. And when just bought some land to build our first building at Spruce Street Baptist Church in Lexington. And we bought 2.5 acres of ground. That's all the money we had. We spent all the money we had. And we needed a church building bad. I went out in the woods one morning to pray. While I was in the woods, thousands of birds roosted in those woods at night. And it's dark in there, because the sun can get through all the undergrowth. I was on my knees praying, and all of a sudden, those woods lit up with the presence of God. I will never forget that. And that day, God showed this old country preacher how he's going to provide to build
that church building, and God did. I thank God for his presence. I like to go to a church meeting. I can not only feel the presence of God, but see the presence of God. Young people have no idea what I'm preaching about tonight. But you old timers know. I don't know. But I'm glad that my children was raised under old time preaching, old time shouting and praising God. I'm glad my grandchildren have been raised under that. I'm glad my great-grandchildren are being raised under old-time preaching, but they believe in the old-time way. Amen. Oh, thank God for his presence. Then again, the Bible tells us, so the cloud brought joy to the children of Israel, and they were close to God. His presence manifested in the ark of the covenant brought joy. We find here in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, and David danced before the Lord. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. You know what? David's wife despised him for dancing and shouting for joy in God's presence. But this didn't stop him. Amen. Why? Because God was manifesting himself with his presence. If somebody can stop you from shouting, you don't have much. I hear people say this all the time. I go to church down there, but I don't have no confidence in that man. I don't have no confidence in that woman. And they have killed all my joy. And then I said, you must not have had much. If you allow someone to take away your joy, your salvation, you don't have much. Well, let me tell you, when you get saved, you have the joy of being born again. The greatest gift is to receive the gift of salvation. That puts joy in your heart. And no man can take that joy from you if you're really saved and born again and washed in the blood. It's joy in serving the Lord. Again, when the enemy of Israel heard shouting in the camp, they knew the ark was in the camp. When they heard shouting in the camp, they knew the ark was in the camp. Back in years gone by. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I thank God for air conditioning. Don't you? But I remember when there was none. I remember when we had to raise the windows on hot summer days, August, September, July, hot days. But we go to church and get to singing them old songs like Amazing Grace when the rollers call the piano to sweep by and by. And you go out the windows down to the valleys, people sit on the front porch and listen to it and come to church the next night. That's why we had crowds in those days, because we didn't keep it all closed in. We put it out. I'm not against air conditioning now. But a few years ago, I'm in Vermont, Barton, Vermont. And I preached that year before. I was the first evangelist in that church in 56 years in Barton, Vermont. When I got there, the people there had not heard of revival. And they got involved in revival. And they came and stood in the parking lot and couldn't get in the church and got saved in the parking lot. Because they had never been in revival. Been 56 years in that part of the country since they'd had a revival. So I go back the next year, and I've been going there ever since. So last year, no air conditioning, don't have to have it up there. They still got snow up there. I talked to one of my preacher friends the other day, and I said, what you doing? He said, I shoved the snow off the top of my house. I said, how'd you get up? He said, I walked up there. He said, I have to dig snow up around the window so we can see out. And they call that global warming. But anyway, I'll go on. And so we're sitting in this building, preaching. People feel hot in there. And it's in July. I said to the pastor, would you open those windows there and there and get some air across there so we can get cool in here? He said, that's a good idea. And he did. And you know what happened that night? The music and the singing went down the road. The next night, visitors came because they heard. Are you with me now? Back in the days of Israel, when the ark got in the camp, they were shouting, they knew something was happening in the house of God. I'll have to give you this. A few years ago, outside of Madison, North Carolina, the brothers now with the Lord, I started a meeting on Sunday morning in the Lakeview Baptist Church. And we had just the regular service that we Baptist folk have. Then on Sunday night, we have just another regular Sunday night service. Then on Monday night, a gentleman perhaps in his late 80s stood up and he said, voice trembling and shaking, he said, I need to give a testimony. He began to honor God and exalt him. And God moved in that place. At 10 o'clock, they're coming to the altar, getting right with God. People still testify. We get at 11:30 that night. Well, I said to myself, I said, perhaps the meeting reaches peak tonight. We go back the next night, all over again. We meet down in the prayer room. You start it again. Three, four nights, I never got to the platform. We was going on, souls getting saved, people getting right with God, till 1:30 in the morning. And then after that, the next night, I'm talking about 3 or 4 nights of this, the neighbors came. They said, we come to see what's going on. Never before in the history of this church has people stayed after 1 o'clock in the morning. What's going on down here? I won't tell you when God shows up. And God's people say, well, God, we can have revival again, but we got to mind God. God hasn't changed. We're the fault that's changed. We've learned how to do it. But I haven't learned yet, and I hope I never learn. And then again, when joy is manifested in our worship services today, you can know that God is there. Then again, his presence manifested in Christ brought joy. Jesus was born in a manger. He brought joy to the weary shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 through 14, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which Christ the Lord knows, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why? Just to hear the name of Jesus. Just to him to manifest himself. Oh, the glory of his presence. The Bible said in John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. So Jesus brought joy before he was born. While Mary was carrying him, she visited Elizabeth and saluted her. When Elizabeth heard John still unborn leaped in her womb, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with a loud voice. They're shouting just at the name of Jesus. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, he's Christ, the Lord of glory. Just to hear his name. And then again, Simeon was in the temple when Mary brought Jesus in. Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God. Jesus brings joy to every heart that will ask him, oh, the vast number of people today to whom the future looks dark, they're unhappy, no hope, and the dark clouds of dismay have blacked out the sun in their lives. And think about this now. Jesus is the answer to every problem. Every problem that I have, every problem that you have, Jesus is our answer. Right. Whether you go to him or not. And then again, the Bible teaches us he puts joy in our soul unspeakable and full of glory. I heard a song the other night. I'd almost forgot the words. Preachers I hadn't heard in a long time. Joy unspeakable. How long, how many years had it been since I'd heard that song? And I almost had forgot the words to that song. Did you realize I'm in a church somewhere every night preaching? And very seldom do I hear the song anymore in our good Baptist churches, Amazing Grace. I don't hear that song anymore. Abandon that song. Our theme song. Oh, God help us never get away from these old songs that brings the power and the presence of God in our service and in our lives. Then again, his presence manifested and the Holy Ghost brought joy. At Pentecost, 120 followers of Christ were no doubt lonely and sad because their Lord had descended into heaven. So they obeyed him and waited for the promise of the Father. When the Holy Ghost came, their hearts were filled with joy. The people came when it was noised abroad and some thought they were drunk. And Peter said, they are not drunk as you suppose. See, it's but the third hour of the day. But that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. There's joy in letting the Holy Ghost have full control of your life and my life. He is our strength, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Then again, the Bible tells us in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Men that are filled with the Holy Ghost will manifest joy in their troubles and sorrows, the time of our most troublesome time. And all the sorrows that we have, we still have joy. We still have joy. I must give this testimony when I get back to preaching. There was a lady in our church years ago at Spruce Street, name of Carrie Nunn, and she sang in the choir. But I remember I could go to her home when she had no food to eat. I'd go out and get her food. I spent the time financially on a fixed income. Her health had gone bad. She couldn't hardly make it. But she always had time to praise God. Amen. I remember at our church, I stood to our, before our church one day, and I said, we had 25 widow ladies. And I said, church, I think it's do us good to take all 25 of these widow ladies on for support in our church. And we did. And I'd go to their house, this lady's house. She said, thank God, preacher, since the church starts supporting me, I have a little meat on my table every day. I give God the praise for that. Then it came time she had to have open heart surgery at the Baptist hospital. I'm there with her that morning before she goes to surgery. And I pray with her. She had her hands in there. She said, preacher, it'll be all right. And so the surgery went great that day. And I had prayer with the family when the doctor said everything's going to be all right. And I went back home. So I go back the next morning and I'm walking down the hallway and I hear somebody shouting. And I thought she's still in intensive care. But sometime during the night, they brought out intensive care, and she's in a room, and I heard somebody shouting, and I go down the hall, and I get to the room, and I said to the nurse, I'm looking for a lady by the name of Karen, and I said, she's over in that bed, can you go and stop her? I said, oh, no, ma'am, I'm going to help her. I'm not going to stop her. I'm going to help her, praise the Lord. Oh, in the times of our sorrow, I believe there's a place in our soul that we can praise God for that. You can't praise Him during the time of your sorrow. There's something wrong somewhere. Again, the Bible said, all they found joy enough to sing God's praise. I think about Paul now. I think about Peter. I think about these guys that put in jail. But you know what happened? Paul and Silas, they found time to praise God. As far as they knew that they was going to die the next day. But they sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, no one can make a cloud move. No one can make it stop. If God ever moves in your life, if God ever moves in your church, nobody can stop that. That's the power of God. I remember Brother Ed Walker was preaching in my home church, and I wasn't even pastoring then. I was 23 years old. And on a Saturday night, we was having a service, and Brother Walker and a lady and some man got to sing. And back in those days, the ladies wore a little hat. Some of them wore big hats. And they got to sing that song, I'll Meet You by the River. And God got a hold of that lady. She left the piano stool, started down the aisle. She got to dancing, and a hat fell off. She just went on. She paid that hat no mind. You know why? Because she had God in her, and she was in God's spirit. She just shouted. I never forgot that. But I've seen those that stand up and shout and drop the keys and stop and pick them up. I don't believe that much now. But if God's all over you and in you, you're going to stop and pick up your hat? I said a key. No, you're going to keep on going for God. I never forgot that. We don't have to worry about that much anymore. And then I want you to notice something else. So the world needs to see us manifest joy in our sorrows and all the glory of His presence. Then number four, His presence brings power. Now His presence manifest in the cloud brought power. When God came down in the cloud on the mountain, there was thunder. And there was lightning. Notice now, smoke and fire. And no one could touch the border of the mountain. If they did, this would bring death. No one could make the cloud move, and no one could stop the cloud. So God's power was revealed in the cloud. When the cloud was standing over Israel, the enemy dared not bother them. They knew God's power was there. Oh, the glory of His presence. So His presence manifested in the ark brought power. The ark opened the waters of Jordan in Joshua chapter 3. And God told Joshua to command the priests that were bearing the ark to stand still. And when they came to the banks of the river Jordan, this is as far as they could go till God's power was revealed. Then God took over and rolled the waters on a heap, and the people marched through on dry ground. And then again, in Joshua 6, Jericho was shut up. No one went in or out of the city because of the children of Israel. And God told Joshua that He would give him the city, and He gave him instruction how to take the city. Would you mind if I gave the same testimony tonight that I gave last? I'm not senile now, but it goes good right here. Sometime when you get my age, if you repeat something the next night, they said he's got dementia. And I had to cover my tracks years ago. I didn't have to do that. But I used this last night in 1965. when the Lord said to me, if you go to Lexington, I was leaving a good church, if you go to Lexington and pass for me, he said, I'll do things for you, it'll be unlimited. He said, I'll do things for you that you cannot begin to imagine. There'll be no limit to what I'll do for you. That was 1965. And God sent me to Lexington. I took a little frame church building in the back door of a Sheets Memorial Baptist Church running 800. And a stone cast of Presbyterian Church ran 300. Another stone cast of Pentecostal Church running over 200. Had 28 people, $60 a week offering. I went there full time. God said, there'll be no limit to what I'll do for you. That was 1965. I stand before you. From that day on, God allowed me to preach in third world countries, 40 years by the way of radio, revival, and pastored that one church, 34 years, now 15 years in evangelism. What am I saying? When God tells you, be unlimited if you'll mind me. I'm preaching to more people right now than I did when I pastored. I'm in a different church every night. Just follow God. I want to make that point right there. The Bible talks about this. We go back in the Bible. The Bible said God told Joshua if he would give him the city, and he gave him instruction how to take the city. He told him to go past the city and go around it about the city once each day for 6 days. And the seventh day, seven priests shall be before the ark. Notice the bear before the ark. Seven trumpets of ram's horn to go past the city seven times. And the priests to sound the trumpets, and all the people shouted. They did this, and the power of God caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. I ask today, God did things like that in days gone by for his people. How come we cannot recognize the power of God today?
Amen.
God hadn't changed.
That's right.
We have changed.
That's right.
God help us. As I get ready to conclude, we find his presence manifest in Christ brought power. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had power to cast out devils, to heal the sick and raise the dead, turn the water into wine. Still the tempest had, I'm talking about, still the tempest had power to lay down, I'm talking about his life. Get this now. He'd already told him, they'd take my, I lay my life down, but in 3 days I'll take it again. He said, no man taketh it from me. When the soldiers, they came and arrested him, said, we got him now. But he already told them, I got power to lay it down. And I got power to take it up again.
Amen.
He proved that, right?
Right?
Tonight, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as thou hast given him. John 17, 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Paul knew the power of Christ. He said, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, the glory of the presence of God. You see, there's no substitute for the power of God today. No substitute. In Bible days, they tried to buy it. Today, they claim they've done this and now they have it. It's not what I've done, but it's what God's doing.
Amen.
If we could ever get old flesh crucified, let God have control once again.
Amen.
We could see the presence of God in our services. Would you stand, please? That's my message this evening. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Our pianist is coming. Our song leader is coming, the invitation song. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you again for the opportunity that's been mine. Stand behind the pulpit, proclaim the word of God. I know not hearts, know not thoughts, but God, you do. As far as I know, everyone in this building is right with God. As far as I know, everyone in this building could be filled with the power of God. As far as I know, but God, you know.
Amen.
But Lord, tonight, if there one, just one that's unsaved, would you save them tonight?
Amen.
Or that child of God that has not been where he should have been and she should have been, they come to an old-fashioned altar tonight. Bring those to the altar in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. What we've seen.